Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, we're going to be taking you to a different level today. We're going to be taking you into an environment of knowledge regarding media. How many of you have ever had the experience of being interviewed? How many of you have sat in front of a television, watching, totally engrossed by what you see, forming opinions by the way information is presented, good, bad, or indifferent? We are very much influenced by media. And Mr. Brad Phillips is my guest today. He has put out a very unique and a very powerfully informative, or I should say powerful and informative book called The Media Training Bible. Now, the reason that this is important, I feel, because of having been in media for so many years, it gives you a perspective of what you can do if you are going to find yourself in that positioning. But more importantly, it gives you an inside track of what goes on behind the scenes. Mr. Brad Phillips, welcome to the Donna Sebo Show.
Donna, it's a real pleasure to be with you.
Well, may I call you Brad?
Please, please do.
Thank you. I was so impressed with your material. I know you work for a media training company, and this is something that this is your skill. You guide and advise many people who are in the forefront of the public eye. Well, so many times there are those individuals that maybe are aspiring to be more visible, and they're looking at all kinds of modalities. Can you tell us how it is that you got into this environment, how it is that you found yourself becoming what might be considered the expert of dealing with media in its various levels? How did this happen with you?
Well, my background was actually in journalism. So I started my career first at a small market radio station, which led me through a circuitous path to ABC News, where I worked for the Nightline program, the old Nightline program hosted by Ted Koppel. And there is really no better way to learn than at the feet of a master. And he truly was a journalism icon. And as great as viewers thought he was on the air, he was behind the scenes. So after working with ABC, I went off to CNN, where I produced or helped produce three different programs. And then it got to early 2001. And as any of your listeners know, news is increasingly, unfortunately, somewhat superficial. I was sent off to cover some stories about politician scandals, personal scandals. And I just started thinking, you know, this is not satisfying. This is not the way I want to spend the rest of my life. And so I started looking into media training, which is the art of teaching spokespeople how to communicate a message more effectively through the media. That means making sure that your message is solid and also that you're delivering it in a way that reaches and inspires members of the audience. And once I found that, I knew I had my niche. I knew that this was the place in the world that I was meant to be. I've been doing it now for about 11 years and have worked with literally thousands of executives and authors and nonprofit employees. And it is the most satisfying career, but couldn't have happened without that background that started in journalism.
I'm so glad you shared that, because I feel too many times people look at someone that is considered an expert like yourself, very knowledgeable, you have answers quickly, you say, this is what I understand, this is what I perceive, but you've taken a long journey to get to where you are, and you've been able to extrapolate the best from whatever environment you've been in. I was impressed with your book and how from the very beginning you went right to the point. You said that we're always going to be able to improve ourselves, which is absolutely true. You have a quote by Gwen Ifill that says, journalists are accused of being lapdogs when they don't ask the hard questions, but then are accused of being rude when they do. It's a good thing we have tough hides. And I'm just sort of backstepping a little bit to what you said about your training. People are terrified at the concept in general of being interviewed. And I can tell you I have had some very bitter experiences myself. And when you've had those kinds of experiences, it's as if you don't want to be in that public view. You become intimidated by it. And I'm just sharing it because I've been through it. It's not so much that way today, but I remember when it first happened to me. What is the worst case scenario you've ever been through?
Well, I've been on it through my experience as a trainer, working with clients who have had that very experience that you have. And you're right. People who have been through that experience are terrified of speaking to the media. And so let me maybe offer a couple of thoughts about for people who have been in that situation. The first one is keep in mind that even though those negative experiences do happen occasionally, the vast majority of media experiences are positive. They're not confrontational hosts. They're not people looking to make you look bad. And so I'd hate for people to be so terrified of working with the media that they don't take advantage of the opportunities. If 19 interviews are good and one are bad, I'd rather prepare the person for the one bad interview and help them navigate that well so that they can take advantage of those 19. But the other thing that I think is really important, and I learned this lesson, I mentioned Ted Koppel earlier, he used to say that the reason people tune into a show, whichever political ideology a person has, if you like Bill O'Reilly, you tune into the show because you like Bill O'Reilly. If you like Rachel Maddow, you tune into that show because you like Rachel Maddow. But if the public begins to perceive that the host is being unfair to the guest, the audience's sympathy begins to shift from the host to the guest. And the guest doesn't have to do a whole lot to make that happen. So sometimes, even when somebody is being peppered with really challenging, adversarial, unfair questions, you don't have to come up with brilliant, perfect answers every time. Sometimes the audience is watching that exchange and thinking to themselves, you know, I feel bad for that person. That person's being treated unfairly. So even in the most negative circumstances, a lot of times the person who's under fire is performing better than they think they are.
You have a couple of points that, in relationship to what you have just mentioned, you say those people that are so enjoyed, so admired, they're authentic, they're natural, they're flexible, they speak to their audience, they self-edit, and they are compelling in that they give a piece of themselves. They have stories to share that people go, yes, I can identify with that. One element that you bring up, and I can tell you with the thousands of people that I've interviewed in my many years of programming, it drives me nuts. It's the us, the ahs, these various sounds that people have when they're speaking. You address this in your book because you convey certain points of information relative to this. How can someone get past this?
Yeah, I call that verbal filler. And the uhs, the ums, the likes, the you knows, the you know what I'm sayings, those are essentially articulated pauses. Those are places where people should be pausing, but oftentimes because they feel uncomfortable, they end up making a sound during that pause instead. And so sometimes it's just a function of being aware of their own verbal filler that helps them prevent it. But the exercise I give in the book to help people reduce their verbal filler, if not eliminate it altogether, is to look around the room that they're in and find an object. It doesn't matter what the object is. For example, I'm in my office now, and I see a large plant in the corner of the office. So I now would talk about that plant for 30 seconds. Doesn't matter what the words are, doesn't matter what other thoughts that plant triggers. I could go from the plant to a forest to a vacation I took in my 30 seconds. That's fine. But the key is to speak out loud for 30 seconds about whatever object you find, trying to speak about it without using any of that verbal filler. and to get used to the cadence of speaking with pauses instead of filling those pauses. And I encourage people who have smartphones, iPhones, Droids, whatever they carry in their pocket, most of those have an audio recorder. So record yourself for those 30 seconds and listen to it back. A lot of times people think they made it through the exercise without any of those uhs or ums, but they ended up uttering a few. That audio recorder will help them determine whether or not they made it through or not. And they should repeat that exercise every day, several times for months, and they could do it anywhere, in their car on their daily commute, in the shower as they're getting ready in the morning. Take advantage of that exercise. It takes a while, but once they develop that new cadence, they will almost never say or again.
I feel that this is so important, and I can recall someone making a comment to me many years ago saying when individuals are doing this, they don't realize that the perception of the listener is, number one, you're not prepared. Number two, you're really not competent about the subject matter that you're relating to or speaking about. And number three, you come across as ignorant. And I thought, this is something, there's so many fine points that your book has, and there's just no way for me to go into all of them. But I would like to address one section, because you offer 101 points for people to learn from. And, of course, we're not all going to learn 101 points in 30 seconds. But let's take one point. It's number 32 in your book, How to Be a Better Media Guest in 3 Seconds. You, with your expertise, have been prepared for this. You've done lots and lots of interviews. Your background is very supportive of your knowledge. But for someone that might be listening, that perhaps is going to be interviewed by a reporter, or maybe have a chance to be on the show, or on any show on television, what can they know that will make them, in 3 seconds, a better interviewee?
One word. Pause. Most interviews are not live. Most interviews are with a print reporter or with a radio host or a television host who's only looking for sound bites. In other words, they won't be playing the entire interview. Of course, there are exceptions to that rule. This is one of them. And a live television show is an exception. But since most people's interviews are not live, when a reporter asks them a question, they don't have to answer the question immediately. There is nothing wrong with stopping for 5 or 10 or 15 seconds, collecting your thoughts and answering the question when you're ready. I think most people have the experience that sometimes you're asked a question and you just start talking. And about halfway into your answer, you think to yourself, aha, this is what I've really been trying to say. And from that moment, halfway through your answer to the end of your answer, it's perfect. But everything that you said leading up to that was kind of just stumbling until you found your way. Pausing eliminates all of that and allows you to just jump in at that midway point where your answer was starting to get good. So the pause is important. Now, of course, in live interviewing, you can't do that. You can't take long pauses. But what I often see is spokespeople are so anxious or so eager to begin answering the question that they don't even really allow the host to finish the question because they think they know exactly what the host is going to ask, so they jump in too quickly. And so what I encourage people there to do is just slow down. Let the host finish the full question. That gives you a little bit of extra time to think. And then after the host is done asking the question, it's still okay to take a half beat before you begin answering it. All of that helps you do a little bit of extra thinking before you jump in with an answer, and it almost always makes your answers more sharp.
One of the many elements that really impressed me with your book is that you address different areas of media, radio, television, the social media. And I want to get into the social media, but one of the things I'd like to have you cover is when someone is doing a television appearance, how important it is how they present themselves. Now, that's a standard rule for anyone. You want to present yourself in a way that is going to give the perception that you want. And you use Richard Nixon as an example, you use Tammy Faye Baker as an example. Let's talk about that for a few minutes.
Sure, you're exactly right that attire is critically important, that people watching an interview will form a judgment about the spokesperson before they've even had a chance to utter a word. And I give it as an example sometimes. Think about when you go to a different city and you're in a hotel and you turn on the television and you tune into a newscast with some anchors that you've never seen hosting that newscast before. If you were to put that on mute within seconds, you would immediately form an impression. I like this woman. She seems kind. I don't like this man. He seems arrogant. Those are almost happening on a subconscious level, and we can do something as spokespeople to control the image that we're portraying. So certainly dressing professionally or dressing the part, at least, is really important. And by dressing the part, what I mean by that is not every spokesperson has to wear a professional business suit when they do an interview. If the person is a marine biologist, it might make sense that that person is wearing, say, a denim shirt and shorts as they stand barefoot on a beach. That's completely appropriate. It's congruent with their brand. But if you're a CEO or a chief financial officer wearing attire that's inappropriate, you'll be judged for that. So certainly that business attire is more important.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. We had a telephone glitch there, but we're moving right along. Brad Phillips is my guest, for those of you that are tuning in. His book is The Media Training Bible, 101 Things You Absolutely Positively Need to Know Before Your Next Interview. Brad, you were talking about attire. Let's go and finish that up, and then I want to go into social media. So what is your final thought? I mean, technology, when it gives you blips, you just move along with it. So let's continue.
Yes, inevitably things will happen that are unpredictable in an interview, and the audience, I think, is judging most people, not on a scale of perfection, but on how they handle it. So these things are unfortunate, but inevitably they happen. The final point I'd make on attire is about makeup. Women know the importance of wearing makeup before a television appearance. That's never been more important than it is now in the definition of high-definition television, where viewers can see essentially every pore on a person's face. But men aren't always as savvy when it comes to that, and so I would encourage any of your male listeners, if they have an opportunity to go on television, especially in this age of high definition, make sure you put some powder on your face. You can get a compact. The easiest way to do that is to go to a makeup counter at your local department store and ask them to find a shade that matches your skin tone. It may feel very strange for men, it usually does, to go and purchase makeup. But the problem is, if you don't do that, you can look sweaty, and that communicates nervousness, anxiety to the audience, even if you're not feeling those emotions.
Very true. You have a fabulous section on social media, and you really address some very significant points. And I know that there are so many people that literally have their technology hooked to their pacemaker, you might say. It's always there. And I'm not typically of that dispositioning, but I know many people who are. And it's something, it's a way of life today. Let's talk about the six best practices with social media and making people aware that they're always on the record. And I'm quoting from your book when I say that. Let's touch on that.
Yes, I think a lot of times because people have the smartphone in their pocket, they forget who else is in their social network, they tend to be more casual than they would be if, say, there was a television camera in their face. When there's a camera in their face, it's an unnatural setting for most people, and so you tend to be hyper-aware of everything that comes out of your mouth. You monitor what you say, you filter everything you say because you know that there's people on the other end of that camera who will be seeing your words. People lose some of that when it comes to social media because it's so comfortable for any of us, and I have to admit I'm one of those people that is fairly addicted to social media. It's so easy when you are out in public or you're at your house laying down, relaxing on your couch, to forget how many people are out there paying attention to your words. And, you know, I know this sounds obvious to you and probably everybody else listening, but I'm constantly surprised on almost a daily basis some public figure is tweeting or putting something on Facebook that ends up either embarrassing them or in some cases leading to their losing their jobs. And so my encouragement to anybody that uses social media is every time you send a tweet or every time you post on Facebook, just think about a television camera in your face and ask yourself the question, would I be saying this in a camera that would be broadcast to tens of thousands of people? If the answer is yes, then send it. If the answer is no, you probably should delete it and start over again.
This also is relevant to blogs and bloggers. And my goodness, I was astonished to know that there's over 181 million blogs. That alone is difficult to wrap one's mind around. And these are all over the world, not, or is it just in the United States that there's 181 million blogs?
That's a worldwide figure, and I wrote the Media Training Bible last year, and so that figure has probably even gone up since then. And the point I make to people about blogs is it's very easy to dismiss them. A lot of people say, oh, blogs are just things written by people sitting in their pajamas in their living rooms. And what I tell people is, yes, certainly, for a lot of blogs, that's the case. But for an awful lot of other ones, the audiences for certain blogs now are larger than that of some major newspapers. I'll give you a specific post. Gets more page views per day than people buying the hard copy of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. And so for that reason, I just tell people, instead of individualizations, and then assess for yourself whether or not it's worth speaking to them and whether it could benefit your brand.
Also, you have information on online video, podcasts, and Skype. Now, Skype is something that, to me, is just a phenomena. Of course, all of it is to me. I'm just absolutely amazed at how it has exploded. But you talk about Skype and how people need to work with this because it can be a very useful tool.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. We're back again. We're having some technical problems, but we're past them now. Brad Phillips is my guest. Brad, I had wanted you to go into online video, podcasts, and Skype because you give such excellent, excellent information in your book, The Media Training Bible, on how to do Skype, on how to present yourself well with it so that you're going to come across effectively and well. Give us some of those tips.
Yes, and that's something so important for people because news organizations are cash-starved. They don't have money to send crews to the same locations they did 10 or 20 years ago, and so they want to save money. Keep you at your desk as a spokesperson and just beam to them via Skype. It's almost free for them to do that, and so they're doing it more, and spokespeople have to be ready. There's two things that people should be aware of when they're doing podcasts or Skype through their computers. The first thing is you really need to look directly into the camera's lens. The tendency for people is to look down to their screen because the screen is where you can see the other party you're speaking to. But you're being broadcast live in many cases, and so trying to ignore that screen that shows the other side and focusing only on maintaining direct eye contact with the lens on your laptop or your computer is really important. It's essentially maintaining eye contact with people, and it sounds obvious, but a lot of people forget to do that. The other thing that I note about Skype that makes it different than almost every other format is for most forms of media interviewing or public speaking, gesturing is okay. Of course, there is such a thing as too much, but for most people, doing what they naturally do when moving their hands or arms is okay. And science in the past 10 years or so has reinforced the idea that people are better communicators when they use their hands to communicate. So it's okay to move a little bit. But Skype is the exception to that rule. And the reason is that Skype often shows a choppy version of you. It doesn't have as many frames per second, and so people come across a little bit choppier than they would on a high-quality television screen, and if they move too much, it can freeze the screen, or it just looks bad on the other end. So sometimes monitoring your movement and doing a little bit less of that will make you come across better when you're using Skype.
I think also one of the points that you bring forth in your book is be aware of what's in the background. And I, as much as I dislike the story, I'm going to bring it up. The one about Domino's Pizza and the employee and the cheese in the nose. You've got to tell this story because it is just unbelievable to me.
Yeah, this was a disgusting story. It happened at a Domino's franchise in North Carolina. A couple of employees thought they would pull what they considered to be a prank where they put cheese in places they shouldn't have. They pressed lunch meat against their body before sending it out for delivery. So this created a major crisis for the Domino's brand because the video of that was uploaded to YouTube. It quickly racked up more than 1 million hits, and people were not buying Domino's pizza. So the CEO of Domino's Pizza came out and issued a response on YouTube. It's a wonderful response that he ended up putting out, and it really helped to end the controversy. But the thing that I noted in the book, and I think this is what you were getting at, is that behind him, you could see the Domino's logo, and on his shirt, he had the Domino's logo as well. One of the points I make is if your brand is in a crisis, you don't want to be displaying your brand logo, why give people a visual reminder that your brand is in crisis? So you want to use your logo behind you or on your clothing when it's a positive or neutral story. And negative stories, you probably don't want to make it that much easier for people to remember you're a part of bad news.
You also talk about how to deal with crises in your book. And there are situations that can be set up or deliberately done that are not your doing. And this happened with Penn State University. And everyone listening knows about the scandal, and it was an atrocious situation. And they were able to manage that, if you can call it managing it well, because it's still not dead in the water. However, it affected a lot of people in a very profound way, and you had some very good points to bring out about the way the communication was with this, well, really, really bad situation.
Yeah, there were three responses that came out of Penn State within the first week of that horrible story breaking. And the first response came from the school's, from Penn State's president, who issued a statement that was clearly trying to cover his own hide. It was a statement that was trying to cover himself. He deflected blame. He wrapped his arms around the other two vice presidents at the school, who he said there's no way they could have acknowledged about that. Of course, now it turns out that's probably not true. So that statement was rightly criticized by the public for not cutting out the victims. So then the second statement came out. It was from the now late football coach, Joe Paterno, whose statement was very much along the same lines, obviously concerned much more about his own legacy and his own career than he was about the children. Then finally, the Board of Trustees, this happened about 4 or 5 days after the story broke, the Board of Trustees came out with a statement that I thought was tone perfect. It was all about the victims. It was all about the horror that was, put upon them, and it articulated its commitment to getting it right, to having an investigation that would look into who knew what and when, and taking quick and appropriate action to punish anybody who should have reacted quicker. They got it right, but it was the third time that they got it right, not the first or second time. And unfortunately, in today's age of social media and how quickly moving everything is, waiting 5 days to issue a tone perfect statement is 5 days too long. In the age of Twitter, you really have to be putting out those statements on day one, if not in hour one.
That is an incredible level of awareness to have. And it's something, Brad Phillips, your book, The Media Training Bible, is absolutely awesome. And for some of you listening, you may say, I'm never going to have a situation like that I have to deal with. That may be true. I would not wish anyone to go through any kind of a negative experience. But I think any time we can learn how we can effectively communicate better, how we can present ourselves in a way that is going to be what we really want to present, and being mindful that in today's world, everything is out there. If you don't really want anyone to hear something, just know, don't speak it, don't tweak it, don't Twitter it, don't Facebook it, just keep it to yourself, because it is out there. Everything on so many levels is so public and accessible. Brad Phillips, I'm so delighted you were able to be with me today. Your material is phenomenal. Thank you so much for being my guest. And your website is MrMediaTraining.com and PhillipsMediaRelations.com, where people can find out more information about you. Thank you again.
Thank you very much.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We'll be back with more good things. Don't go away.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I'm so delighted that you are able to join me today, and I'm going to open up those phone lines. You are more than welcome to give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. There are so many individuals that are struggling in life. They're saying, I've been involved in a particular profession. I'm not going to be able to be there. There's layoffs. Disruptive technology is playing a big part in life right now. And a lot of jobs that people had are disappearing. But wait a minute. You've got an opportunity. You can make money, thousands of dollars a year, maybe doing something that really you enjoy. Now, here are some stories about women that I think is absolutely, they're absolutely amazing. Now, we gals are very social creatures. We like to sit in kibitz, and we like having our social interaction. Women are especially known for that. Go back into early American history, women would have their quilting bees where they'd have a chance to get together because they were out on farms, and many times the only women they could interact with were through those social engagements, and so they'd talk about their families. This has always been very important to the female. Men have it too, but women often like to have something creative going along with their conversation. They just don't want to sit and have a latte and chat. They like being interactive. Well, there's a woman by the name of Diane, and she started a party type of environment. She used wine and cheese. In fact, she is a wine consultant for Wine Shop at Home. And you go to different people's homes. She said, I enjoy wine. I love being an entrepreneur. So I look forward to going to work every day. Now, she averages over $10,000 a month. She said sometimes she can make $18,000 a month, and she's a full-time sales rep. She said it has enabled our family to have a level of financial freedom, and she said the company has taught me everything that I know. What did it cost her? Yes, there's always a little thing there called money that might be an investment. Cost her $99, so you could check that out. If you're a chocolate person, and you could be a quote-unquote chocolate advisor, well, Lindt Chocolate. You see it in the grocery stores. Well, they have opened up a factor for their company where people can get chocolate samples. She said she does tasting parties. It takes 10 or 15 hours a week. She said, I have made enough money. The woman's name is Joy. And she said, I'm able to pay cash for everything I want. She's 37 years old. She lives in Flushing, Michigan. Now, she started at $124 of investment, and she is part of the Chocolate Advisors. Another woman, her name is Barbara, she got involved with a company that makes baskets. There was another woman, she said she's into designing. Those two different companies, one is Longaberger, LONGABERGER.com, and also the other one is CelebratingHome.com. This is something that, my goodness, Tupperware did how many years ago, decades ago? and so many other companies have copied them. It is a wonderful way. And there's just such a plethora of businesses out there that would love to have you as a sales rep. They will go ahead, they will do the training, they'll give you what you need. You can start right off the bat. And yes, it's going to take some work. And if you've got a family, if you've got other responsibilities, it may entail a little bit more time than what you would expect. But my goodness, when you start generating that income, you're doing what you enjoy doing, and you are meeting new people. I think in our world today, that's one of the things that's so vitally important, is connecting with other people, connecting, developing relationships. You never know where those relationships are going to lead you. And you never know when someone might say, I have need of your service. It's fun, it's interesting, and more than that, you realize you're part of this wonderful experience we call life, and it's integrating on so many different levels. It's a good thing to do. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Now, if you want to give me a buzz to chat, call me at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I'll be delighted to light your light up with a little bit of insight. And I just want you to know that I'm down here also in Santa Barbara, California. And no matter where I am, when I'm broadcasting live, you still have a chance to chat with me. Tomorrow, I'll be leaving Santa Barbara and heading out into Los Angeles, and I'll be doing my broadcast from there. Tomorrow, my guest is going to be Michael Cremo. Michael Cremo is well known around the world for his book, Hidden Archaeology. This man has done phenomenal research. He's been on a journey that has taken him through many different adventures in life. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about his new book, My Science, My Religion, getting an insight into the man that I think is going to allow you to appreciate even more the accomplishments that he has achieved. And on Friday, we are going to be traveling to Grand Old England, talking with Wilma Davidson. We're going to be talking about dowsing. If this is a subject matter that you maybe don't know very much about, or if you have an infinite curiosity about same, I know you're going to love Wilma. She's a delightful lady, and she has been doing this for years. And she will tell you how you can utilize dowsing to empower your life in many, many different ways. So we've got a great lineup of guests. Check on the show information button. Push that right here on BBS, and you'll get a little two-liner sentence about the guests that are upcoming on the show, and that'll give you an insight into perhaps some subject matter that, again, you've been curious about, or maybe you'd say, I want to hear what they have to say, because I want a different perspective. That's one of the joys that I have about doing this show with you, is presenting perspectives from other people, other experiences, and just know, you always have the choice to accept it, reject it, maybe digest a little bit of it, take a piece of it, so that it brings a little bit more into your own life. This is Donna Sebo. We're coming back in just a moment. I've got a wonderful, heartwarming story about a woman and a cat, and maybe a recipe or two, but maybe even more importantly, some good nutritional information that'll empower you in your everyday achieving wellness. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. A couple of tips that I found out on my traveling. Whenever I'm on the road and I'm reviewing different materials, I always look for tidbits of information that I'm not familiar with. And this is something I came across that I was totally unaware of. Tea is something that is a part of my everyday regimen. I absolutely love tea. I always have. But I didn't know that if you combine green tea plus a little bit of lemon, you are going to have a powerful antioxidant punch that's going to be given to your life. Why? Well, lemon keeps the antioxidants that are in green tea from being destroyed before you can use them. I think we've got a caller, and if so, I'll be right with you. So just a little bit of lemon contains enough vitamin C to help reduce the breakdown of catechins in the digestive system. It improves your cognitive ability. Who knew? A little bit of lemon, green tea, woohoo! Start your day. You're going to do well. This is Donna Sebo. I believe we've got a caller. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Del, Santa Barbara, California.
Well, hi, Del. You're right where I am right now. I'm delighted you called in. And, excuse me?
I say wonderful.
All right. Let me give you some information, dear. The first thing that I am looking at is that there is a crossroad. Now, it's interesting. To me, it's a small crossroad that is right in front of you. You can see it. And you know you must be decisive in your choice of action so that it doesn't expand into a great big problem. When I'm looking at this little crossroad, I find it interesting that as soon as you make your decision, you're going to be able to take like an eraser and the crossroad is gone. Then you have an open panorama in front of you, which means that now you're going to have the free choice of exploration as you want to do it so that you can see where you want to put yourself next. Now, this year is very interesting to me when I'm focusing on you because I believe that what is occurring is that you're going to find yourself making some choices, making some decisions that are going to be a little scary for you because you're entering into unknown turf. Take the little baby steps and you will be just fine. Take little baby steps. You'll say, okay, I can correct here. So be patient because by the time fall comes into positioning, you're going to be able to move forward with a greater speed. So take the little baby steps now. Once you make this decision about this small concern, this crossroad that you feel that you might be experiencing or coming close to experiencing, make your decision and then know you're going to be able to move forward with a great deal of speed in the fall if you take your time and take these little baby steps in the interim to explore the arenas that you feel you need to. Do you have a quick question for me?
Am I heading the right direction by going to Arizona, and have I found the spot yet, or do I need to still keep researching?
I'd keep researching. I do not know, and I know we don't have time on the air this morning, but I do not know that you've gotten all of your facts. The emotional side of yourself seems to be pushing quite strongly. I want you to trust what you do know, but I do want you to explore some other options, and I think that's why the little baby steps are here. Once you do that, then you're going to move fast. You're not going to delay, procrastinate, make any excuses. So take your time now. This is the time to deal with the detail.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. Thank you very much for calling in. This is Donna Sebo. I want to mention something real quickly for those of you that are up in Seattle. The Northwest Women's Show, thank you. And I know we've got a caller. I'll be with that caller in just a moment. I've got to get this in quickly. The Northwest Women's Show is coming up in Seattle March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. I'm going to be doing a women's forum there. I'm going to be speaking, and I'm going to be bringing more information to you from here on out. But I wanted to bring that to your attention because the Pacific Northwest Women's Show is an awesome event. It's at the CenturyLink Center, and you can go to northwestwomensshow.com and find out more. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Leanne.
Where are you calling in from, Leanne?
Shelton.
Shelton, Washington. Wonderful. So glad you're able to join us. Okay, Leanne, the first thing I'm looking at with you is you need to not take some things so personally. You are going through a tremendous growth curve at this time. The growth is occurring, and you're getting comments or statements by people, and there is a part of you that's just wanting to tighten all up and sort of retreat. I want you to know this is the year for your coming out and being unafraid. It is very natural when we're highly sensitive, which you are, to people, situations, and conditions, to want to pull back, to want to retreat. And I want you to know that you are learning how to develop a level of detachment, not a cold detachment, but a detachment that allows you to evaluate things without this sensitivity coming in and blocking you. You are breaking through your own glass ceiling, and this is a very powerful thing for you to do. So be patient with yourself. Don't be concerned. You are really coming into your own this year. I know we're just about out of time. Do you have a quick question for me?
Do you see me moving?
I'm not looking at an immediate move, no. And I would say if you desire to move, really think out what you want. You don't need to compromise when the time comes for a move. Will you eventually move? Oh, yes, I think you will. But I'd rather see you move forward into what you really want, not compromising.
Okay.
And Leanne, I want to thank you so much for your call. I'm sorry, dear, I'm out of time.
All right, thank you.
You are very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I'm so delighted we've been able to share this time, and join me tomorrow because we are going to be talking about archaeology, a man who has dared to challenge what is supposedly known with what he feels needs to be known, and that's Michael Cremo. Won't you join me? Take care. Have a magnificent day wherever you are on this beautiful planet of ours. We'll be talking again tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.